This podcast homily is part of a series of homilies for Whitsunday Pentecost and the Sundays in Trinity season in worship using the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. Welcome to this podcast homily for the 12th Sunday after Trinity. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. They, as well as the entire archive of hundreds of homilies on various topics, can also be accessed through the Podbean gadget on the digital library page of the same site. And by using the words Anglican Internet Church or my name through iTunes podcasts. The epistle reading is 2 Corinthians 3, 4-9, another short homily from the pen of St. Paul, this time on the virtue of the new covenant delivered to the faithful through the Holy Spirit versus delivery of righteousness, the impossibility of the same through the Mosaic Law. In it, St. Paul continues to stress that man can do nothing without God through his Son, Jesus Christ. The underlying meaning is that if the faithful trust in God and believe in Christ, the life that they lead will be truly righteous. The unspoken thought is a negative one concerning the opposite approach, that is, the self-righteousness of the clerks, scribes, Pharisees, and priests of the Hebrew religion in the latter days before the coming of Christ. The Gospel reading, Mark 7, verses 31 to 37, an account of the healing of the deaf man, is the second and last reading for Trinity season from the pen of St. Mark. It is unique to the Gospel of St. Mark, and I discuss this and the 17 other demonstrations of the divine power of Jesus in more detail with illustrations in episodes 8, 9, and 10 in the New Testament, Gospels and Epistles, the online free Bible study courses on our Bible study page. The direct URL link to that page is http://www.anglicaninternetchurch.net/bible-study.html. After a period of ministering in the coastal region near and around Tyre and Sidon, both now in Lebanon, Jesus and the traveling party crossed the Sea of Galilee and came to the region called the Decapolis, from the Greek meaning 10 cities, the northern part of which is now the Golan Heights in Syria, and the rest being part of the Hashemite kingdom of Jordan. The Decapolis region is mentioned only 3 times in the Gospels, twice by St. Mark and once by St. Matthew. As we enter the scene, the disciples brought to Jesus a man who suffered from 2 ailments, deafness and a speech impediment, 2 maladies which usually go together. Knowing Jesus was a healer, or in Koine Greek, a thaumaturg, the disciples took the man aside out of the multitude that was present and asked Jesus to lay hands upon him in Mark 7, verse 32. Jesus put his fingers into the man's ear and then, And here is the unusual part. He spit upon his hand, then touched the man's tongue. Jesus turned his face toward heaven, which is a typical prayer posture for a Jewish man. Mark tells us that Jesus sighed, both in sympathy and compassion, for the man's pitiful condition and said, Ephphatha, which in Aramaic means be opened. Aramaic was the native tongue of many who lived in the northern regions of what had been the Kingdom of Israel. It was also the language spoken in Babylon during the period of the captivity. Aramaic is still spoken today by the dwindling number of Christians in Iraq. St. Mark tells us that straight away the man's ears were opened and his tongue loosened, and that he spoke so plainly that the multitude cried out their astonishment in Mark 7, verse 35. This form of healing without a spoken command is unlike all the previous descriptions of healings in which Jesus spoke commands, for instance, to rise from the sickbed and walk, to bathe in a pool, or simply speaking a healing word. How this happened is one of those mysteries of God which are far beyond our ability to comprehend. Afterward, Jesus addressed the crowd. Tell no man, he said in 36a. Now, we have to assume that there must have been some form of discussion here, because St. Mark's terse account also tells us in verse 36b that, quote, the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. The people's reaction was incorporated into a meal prayer in the Methodist Church tradition. In the phrase from verse 37, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. The important message in this story is that Jesus asked the crowd not to speak of the healing because he was not yet ready for his true identity to be revealed. In St. John's Gospel, this was expressed in terms of time, in such phrases as, my hour has not yet come. In the next set of verses in the Gospel of St. Mark, at the start of chapter 8, there would have been no doubt in the minds of the traveling party of Jesus' remarkable powers after the healing of the feeding of the 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few small fish. Had they remembered their scripture, those Pharisees and scribes who were present and who doubted Jesus might have recalled Psalm 77, verse 13b and 14b, who is so great as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. And Psalm 86, verse 8, among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord. There is not one that can do as thou doest. For our two closing prayers, I turn first to an old Presbyterian prayer, obviously inspired by early church doctrine based upon the Psalms, and then the second prayer is the second collect, the 12th Sunday after Trinity, which Archbishop Cranmer derived from a penitential collect from the Gelasian Sacramentary. In it you will hear ideas expressed in St. Paul's epistle for today. O God, who art infinite, eternal and unchangeable, glorious in holiness, full of love and compassion, abundant in grace and truth, grant us grace to spend this day in thy service. All thy works praise thee in all places of thy dominion. Amen. And now the collect for the 12th Sunday after Trinity, derived from the Gelasian Sacramentary. Almighty and everlasting God, who art always more ready to hear than we to pray, and art wont to give more than either we desire or deserve, pour down upon us the abundance of thy mercy, forgiving us those things whereof our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a production of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.